Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
Sean, are you worried that the Fed's going to keep hiking rates even after inflation isn't a threat? And isn't inflation kind of curing itself right now?
Well, certainly we saw a slightly less hot print in July than many people thought we would. The next inflation numbers come out on the 13th of September. And I expect that to actually be a lot lower than the current expectation of 8.5% year-over-year growth in headline inflation. However, that's not going to suit the Fed. The Fed wants inflation around 2%. So we can expect them to keep hiking until they see things seriously on the way to that. I think it'll take a lot longer than many people realize. We are seeing oil prices come down, which is one reason why I expect the inflation number on September 13th to be lower. Also, we're seeing, say, for example, the price of used cars fall. And in certain areas of the country, we are seeing home prices come down. But that's only a few. That could be an indication of a much bigger trend. But, you know, I mean, there are many things that go into inflation. Inflation is a global thing. We've seen prices go up around the globe. So the U.S. Fed can do what it wants, but there's a certain limit to how much they can actually accomplish with rate hikes in regards to inflation. So what the Fed has made clear is they don't care if they push the country into recession. They'll take subpar growth. That means recession is okay. And as long as they get inflation down. And they're really ticked off about the fact that there's now two jobs for every one person looking for it. They really want to do something about the jobs number as well. So I expect them to keep hiking probably into the end of the year. But at a certain point, if not the fact that they may drive the country into recession, if that's not going to stop them, then the thing is that it becomes harder and harder to afford the interest payments we have on the U.S. debt the higher they yank rates. So they're in kind of a catch-22 situation there. So I'd expect them to hike maybe into the end of the year and then surprise everybody by cutting rates probably early next. And again, while their rate hikes have some effect on inflation, they don't have a lot. There's much more factors to it. So it's actually kind of a complicated stew. I guess the short answer is yes, I expect the Fed to keep hiking. I'm not sure where it stops, probably around 4%, and then I expect rate cuts next year.
So the Fed is basically driving a car, but they've even admitted, well, yeah, we don't have a hand on the gear shift. We don't have a foot on the gas pedal. We're just hitting the brakes. We're not steering it. You know,
yeah,
they're using one of the four or five controls available to you.
Right. Well, they really have one tool. They have other tools for, like, dealing with things like the market's easing up or banks not lending or liquidity and, like, stuff like that. But for inflation, their one tool seems to be raising interest rates. You know, it shouldn't have to come to this, but that seems to be. They are certainly acting more independent than they did during, say, the Trump era, which is when Jerome Powell was appointed. He was appointed by Trump, and he was a lot less independent then. Now he's acting much more independent, and we'll have to see how that goes, but so far it seems he has no problem, raising interest rates this this time around, and he's also removing liquidity from the market in other ways this time around, even though last time they ended that quickly because the Fed, because the market threw a tantrum when they started to taper, you know, the amount of like bond buying they did. This time they don't seem to care. Now, yes, we have much higher inflation now. That's a real reason. But it also looks like a more politically independent Fed as well. And so there's that thing to figure into it too.
The U.S. dollar continues to be very strong. I mean, I'm looking at other currencies on the stock market boards here. Everything else is in the red. Is the U.S. dollar just kind of treading water, but everybody else is drowning a bit?
Well, you know, I keep posting a U.S. dollar chart on my Twitter feed every day because this is a really remarkable rise. It is testing overhead resistance right now. It's very strong overhead resistance, but that doesn't mean that it's going to go down, or at least not go down much. It looks like the U.S. dollar wants to break out. Now, that will help the Fed in a way because the higher the U.S. dollar gets, the less goods U.S. companies can sell overseas. So that slows down the economy. And so that might bring down inflation. And also the higher U.S. dollar makes it cheaper for us to buy things from overseas. So there's that too. But the higher the U.S. dollar gets, the more risk there is to economic growth, but also to corporate profits, because much of the S&P 500 sells overseas, right? And if they sell less of their product overseas due to the high dollar, that can really impact products. I think that's one of the things weighing on the stock market right now, is people are just looking at this U.S. dollar rally and say, where does it end? Now, we saw the European Central Bank finally jump on the let's start raising rate hikes train, and they raised their interest rate by 75 basis points, and they said that they're going to do more of that. And that should be pulling the U.S. dollar down, and initially for like an hour it did. Then the dollar came right back, I guess because people figure that our Fed's going to keep raising rates as well, and our economy is stronger than the European economy. So it's really kind of a mess there, you know, but definitely keep your eye on the dollar. The higher it goes, the harder it is for gold to rally. I really thought gold would be rallying more right now. Obviously, I was a little off on that one. It also weighs on other commodities, too. We are seeing a rally in copper now, but how long can that last if the U.S. dollar keeps going like this? So, you know, that's one of the important things you really need to watch. We need to see this U.S. dollar rally break if we're going to see a real recovery in, say, commodity prices.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, with the Russians again threatening to cut off oil and gas supplies to Europe, will oil and gas bounce much higher again late in the fall and into winter?
Well, you know, on that announcement, I expected oil to bounce more than it has. I certainly expected natural gas to bounce more than it has, and they haven't. Part of this is, I think, people are really worried that China's going to lock down a lot more and, like, cut back that way. There isn't a lot more supply coming on, so it's hard to explain. Other than fears about China, fears about a global recession, that fear. So it's really kind of hard to figure out here. We've also had some tremendous pumping of the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, putting that on the markets. That's weighing on things. All that has to be put back at some point, though I'm not sure when that would actually happen. It could lead to us getting to a very tight space in the future where, you know, the markets just spaz out if there's a real crisis and we don't have much of a strategic petroleum reserve to actually cover it. I'm a little bit stymied by what's going on in the crude oil markets right now and the natural gas markets, considering the international situation. But what we are seeing is we're seeing general bearishness. It's not even turned around by, say, news announcements like the one you just mentioned out of Russia. So we'll have to see how these things go. I'm not adding any new positions right now. I'm comfortable with the ones we have. We are especially positioned in those oil and gas companies that pay nice dividends and tend to raise those dividends. That gives them a cushion in a market pullback like this and should help them outperform if and when things get higher. I have to believe crude oil is somewhere near the bottom of its range right now. And so I'd expect the turnaround soon, but it's really hard to predict where that is.
Do you think solar will, I guess, literally get hotter? California in a big heat wave right now and a drought. You'd think this would be the perfect time to put up more solar to help power people's air conditioning.
Well, that and plus the through the most recent bill they passed, they're throwing, the U.S. government is throwing more than $400 billion at renewable energy. That's, I think, the most bullish thing for solar power. And in fact, that's why I've recommended two solar stocks recently. They're doing well, and I expect to see more of that. There are stocks, there are industries that can do well in an inflationary environment, which is what we have now, and when the rest of the market isn't doing so well. And so I'm trying to steer people to those industries. A big plus is if you have the government throwing money at problems. One thing I think people should keep an eye on is the water crisis in the West, which there's no relief for that yet. How are they going to solve that? One way they could do is they could build a pipeline from the Mississippi to the West, which would be a massive project and would take years, though. I'm not sure what the short-term solution is, but there are things you can invest in this environment, and you can start by looking at those things that the U.S. government is throwing money at. So that's kind of what we're doing.
What's your take on gold right now?
I expect gold to be bouncing higher, but certainly this rally in the dollar is putting a kibosh on. I mean, there are many other fundamental reasons, including big cycle reasons, which can be off by a few weeks or so that's not too big of a deal. But big cycle reasons that say that gold should be going higher. Gold stocks are outperforming gold itself, which tends to be a bullish sign. You normally see the stocks move before the underlying metal. So I was recently a buyer of some gold stocks. Those picks are up. It's hard to get fully bullish under the current circumstances, but you know when gold takes off, it's just going to blast. That's what happened in the past. That's probably what's going to happen again. So you have to be in it to win it on that
one. Sean, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
No, I'm just kind of sitting and waiting and looking for the next market bottom. Now, you can play this from the short side. And in fact, I know people who are doing quite well doing that. But all the economic data that comes in still shows a strong economy. And it seems like the market has priced in a recession, which could happen. But on the other hand, I think they're overpricing the odds of a recession, which means we could have a face-ripping rally sooner than later when a recession doesn't happen. So I'm just kind of taking a wait-and-see approach. We have stocks that pay nice dividends. We're just riding this thing out. Our portfolios are zigzagging higher. I don't have any real complaints. We'll just have to see what happens next to change the tone of the market, which is more bearish, and either aligns that to the underlying economy, which is bullish, or else something happens economically to ruin the economy, to put that in line with what the market's saying.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me on.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. You can find us on BitChute at Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.